Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Yesterday, WBUR's David Boeri introduced us to some of the underworld figures who are key characters in the Whitey Bulger trial. Today, he's with us to talk about the main players from law enforcement. David, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, Sasha.
And David, this is a more complicated story since there are heroes and villains here.
Right.
Why don't we start with the various police agencies that investigated Bulger and that frequently had trouble getting along?
Well, you have to start at the very top, Sasha, with the FBI. Because the FBI, since the early 60s, had a mandate. And the mandate had been set by the U.S. attorney, Robert Kennedy, at the time, and it was to break the mafia. To do that, the FBI here made informants out of Bulger and Fleming. And they protected them from other law enforcement agencies.
Whitey Bulger and his sidekick, Steve Fleming, who is now serving prison time.
That's right. They were protected by the FBI from the state police, from the local police, from the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, from any police organization that was trying to bring them in. And they all were because of their reputations as killers, as violent thugs.
Allegedly, that's what's true.
That was their reputation.
Trial, right?
That was their reputation at the time. Fleming admits to have committed those crimes. Bulger's alleged to have committed those crimes. So they're secret agents for the FBI. The other agencies don't know. They suspected something was going on, but they didn't know. They saw their investigations compromised. And here is Tom Foley of the state police, who was a detective at the time, talking about the frustration.
After trying to work within the system and, you know, being thwarted so many times, the frustration actually kind of turned into, I would say, more or less a cold fury that he was so frustrated that the people that were supposed to be doing the right thing and working alongside you were always, you know, trying to thwart what you were trying to do. And all we were trying to do was our job.
And David, two FBI agents in particular will be central to this trial. One is Agent John Connolly. The other is Connolly's supervisor, John Morris. Tell us how Bulger's relationship with Connolly began.
The relationship started way back in Southie when they were kids. It starts with an ice cream cone that the older, troubled teenager buys for the younger kid. It continues for that troubled teenager, that juvenile delinquent, breaking up a fight in which the little kid is the target. And these are the lessons that that little kid, John Connolly, learns at an early age, that you never back off from a fight. You always stay with your friends. You're loyal. It then graduates to the point where Connolly is an FBI agent in Boston and Bulger is a top-notch criminal. On a beach south of Boston, according to that story, Connolly makes a pitch to Bulger, why don't you work to knock off the mafia? We'll help you. We'll protect you. There'll be something in it for you.
John Connolly is now serving time in Florida on a murder conviction. Will we hear from him during trial?
No, you won't. He has never taken the stand at his own trials. He declined to take the stand. John Connolly is living by the code that's associated with the movies, with myth of the good guy, wise guys who never rat on their friends. And say this of John Connolly, he has been consistent. This is a story about people cutting deals with the government, ratting people out and getting great deals. John Connolly has been offered deals. He hasn't taken any of them. Listen to this. It's from an interview I had with him in 2008 before he was going to be sentenced for second-degree murder in the state of Florida.
Right now, my prison is an 8x10 cell. That's my prison. But if I cooperated against innocent FBI agents and bore false witness against them, then my prison would be the entire outside world. You could never look in a mirror again without knowing what you are.
And what about the FBI's John Morris? This was Connolly's supervisor, now retired. Ultimately, John Morris was a corrupt FBI agent. Will he be part of this trial?
That's right. He's the other agent. You often don't hear talk of him in this case. There were two agents that were both disgraced here. In fact, many others were involved. But John Morris gave information away to Bulger and Fleming about investigations. The key moment for him came after Bulger had fled And Bulger made a phone call from a payphone to Morris, who was down at FBI headquarters. And he got him on the phone and he threatened him because he blames Morris for trying to get him killed by revealing his identity to the Boston Globe as an FBI informant. After that phone call, John Morris went into cardiac arrest and he retired the next day. And now he's going to meet Whitey Bulger for the first time since that phone call on the stand this summer.
Eventually, law enforcement did get an indictment against Bulger. Which agency gets credit for that?
You have to give the state police, along with their DEA team, credit for this. There were the team of four, three state cops and a DEA agent, and a federal prosecutor who never took no for an answer, Fred Wyshack. They fought off every step of the way, every attempt by the FBI to sideline and sabotage that indictment until, in the critical moment, Foley told federal prosecutors, "We, the state police, will go public and announce that the FBI had a chance to indict Bulger and didn't do it unless they joined the indictment." At the last minute, realizing they could no longer stop it, the FBI joined part of that indictment.
That's WBUR's David Bowery. David, thank you.
You're welcome.